Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Evolving from a small Basin Trading Post more than 80 years ago, Fort Leonard Wood has grown into a premier Army Center of Excellence, training nearly 80,000 Army Marines, Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard service members and civilians each year. Today, we're honored to have the command team from Fort Leonard Wood to tell us about the history and how they are leveraging the resources and enable success of the current and future forces to win our nation's wars and succeed in any operation. So please, stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it absolutely every week. We love them too. Today we're talking with the command team from Fort Leonard Wood, the Army Maneuver Support Center of Excellence. And I'm excited to welcome Major General Christopher G. Beck, Commanding General, and CSM Jorge Arzabala, Command Sergeant Major. Hopefully I said that correct. I always mess it up, but I hopefully got it halfway right.
That was pretty close, SMA. It's Jorge.
Okay. Hey, look here. Before we get started, I want you to tell the audience just a little bit about yourself. And sir, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, SMA, thanks for letting us be here today. This is really our honor. So I'm a career engineer officer, been in about 32 years, and have been blessed to command at multiple echelons. I've done just about every job you can do as an engineer officer, both on the tactical side and the Army Corps of Engineers side. And really, just prior to this job, I was the DCGM for 3rd Armored Corps, which was a phenomenal opportunity to help me shape my thoughts into what we need to do at the Maneuver Support Center of Excellence as it relates to supporting the operational warfighter. And so I'm a great team here. I'm also blessed with a great team at home. I've got a wife who's been with me the entire time and is the only reason that I've made it as far as I have. And two boys that are long out of the house, and I don't like them very much, so we don't really tell them where we live anymore. But just a great family that has really been hugely supportive of everything we've done. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say my wife would yell at me tonight. We have our first grandson who'll be turning one in February. And so that has also helped me learn where I fit in the hierarchy of the family. And I'm not near as important as I thought I was.
Well, look here. I have 5 great grandbabies, just to let you know. And I just celebrated my 56-year wedding anniversary. So I know how important spouses are. I mean, if it wasn't for my spouse, I don't think I ever could have made it through life. I've been blessed. Sergeant Major, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Hey, good afternoon, SMA. Thanks for allowing us to come on here. Before we get started, I just got to give you a big hoo-ah.
All right, I'm pumped
SMA
up now.
SMA always needs a hoo-ah. All right. But it's truly my privilege to be on this show, not only to showcase who we are, but more importantly, to showcase Fort Leonard Wood to the world. Fort Leonard Wood is deeply tied into my roots. I am a first-generation American and a first-generation soldier in my family. I've been married for 26 years. We actually got married 2 days before joining the Army. My wife and I, we have 4 children. I was in the very first class of chemical trainees to come through in 1999 when the Army decided to move the chemical school and the MP school from Fort McClellan up here to Fort Leonard Wood. And I've had the privilege now of being on this station for 8 years, served as a drill sergeant, a brigade sergeant major, and now as a MSCO sergeant major for about 36 months. And it's truly my pride and joy. The community and our team is phenomenal here. And just honored to be here and serve all our community.
I got to ask you one quick question. Now, who's in charge of your house? Is it you or your spouse?
No, that's an easy question, Mr. Bay. I mean, my wife, Vanessa's in charge of everything.
I was going to say, I was looking forward to the answer because I knew what the answer was. If I didn't agree with this answer, I was going to correct him.
Well, what I was going to do is I was going to shut off the camera. He's telling a lie right off the bat. That's not good for us. hey, sir, let's get serious about Fort Littlewood. Sir, Fort Littlewood has a unique history. I know that. Would you tell us about the history and really the mission of Fort Littlewood?
Absolutely. And so we started in 1940, end of the year 1940, really got up and running in 1941. And we started back then as the 7th Army Training Command's basically their training area. And we have been a training installation ever since. We closed down for a few years after World War II. But at the end of the day, we have been training since day one. This installation pushed out over 300,000 soldiers for World War II in both the Pacific and the European theaters.
Wow.
And so we have been a training installation from the get-go. And as you said in the intro, we have continued to grow. We pushed through more than 80,000 from trainee all the way up to captain and civilians and joint force every year. And so we continue to refine what we do, but that's been a very diverse diverse history as well. I like to tell folks, many people don't know, we had German POWs here during the war that built a lot of the structures that are still on this installation, a lot of the drainage features and things like that. So a really rich history that ties us back to the community. And like Sergeant Major Arzabala said, we have an absolutely unbelievable relationship with our surrounding communities.
Yeah. Do you train, basic training, AIT, and then other, BNOC and ANOC and all the rest of it? So you have a real large contingency of trainees come through all the time, huh?
Absolutely. So we train from initial entry training all the way up to the captain's career course at the soldier level, the NCO level through the non-commissioned officer academy, and then the warrant officer levels as well. And then we've got things like CID. We do training for them. And then, as you mentioned, we've got the joint forces here as well.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Sergeant Major, what is the mission? Why is the mission so important to our nation? Why is the mission right there at Fort Littlewood so important to our nation?
Sergeant Major, we provide a wide vast of skills and scope to our nation. It's actually 23 MOSs in which we train here across four regiments, our engineers, MPs, Seaburn. And we also do all transportation for the entire Department of War. Out of that, we also train all four branches of service here. And it's our very pride. We actually train one out of every six Marines for the Corps. We train all the Navy Seabees and our mighty 368 Air Force training squadron here. But the most important thing is that our motto is victory through skill. And that's because we provide that for our nation each and every day. But out of that, we also look at making sure that everybody leaves better than they arrive here each and every day, which is true to our vision on what we do here. And that is truly the essence of why Fort Leonard was important to our nation, SMA.
Do you have a big population of Air Force? And I don't know, did you mention Navy also? Navy comes through there too for the train?
We do have the Navy Seabees, and it's always interesting time here in the month of December when we have Army-Navy game because
Wait a minute. We know we want the Army to always win. I can't believe the Navy would ever die, but go ahead.
Oh, they try, SMA, is what I'm telling you. They try. We even have a football game on here with Army-Navy, and we always have a great time. But regardless of what it is, they're all great teammates, great partners that help us accomplish, and we all share our same disciplines. Of training. So we do hand in hand everything as we learn engineering, MP, and Seaburn. We do have the only live nerve agent training center for the Department of War here on the installation. So we get the opportunity to showcase not only our services, but all our international partners that come here to train as well.
Yeah. I went to NBC school years and years ago. And if I didn't learn anything, I don't remember anything out of NBC school. There's stuff that you can't even smell that'll take you out. So I'm always afraid of that stuff. You start talking about that. Hey, sir, what are the priorities for Fort Littlewood and what does the future look like?
So I'll tell you, so we've got, like every other command, we've got our priorities chart and our lines of effort, but I'll boil it down to two things the Sergeant Major and I talk about all the time. We train folks and we drive change. And that's really what the essence of what we do is. And we've talked about the training, But we continue to evolve that training. You know, you asked about the future, and I would tell you the future is very bright. So we continue to challenge ourselves significantly with what we do here. We continue to learn from the current operating environment. We integrated unmanned aerial systems in September, and we are now training. We're interacting with our basic trainees with those UAS systems. We're taking our NCOs through how can they leverage those UASs to help their planning. And we're doing the same thing with our officers. So we have integrated those UASs in everything we do here, learning from what we're seeing in both the Ukraine as well as what we're seeing in the Pacific. So that's important. We also really focus, as we've talked about with a different grade structure we have here, we really focus on not only training multi-compo, because we are a total Army force here, about 70%, 75% of our three regiments are in the Guard and the Reserve.
Yeah.
So we have active component Guard and Reserve all the time, but all of our training is also multi-rank. So whenever we can, we synchronize our NCOA training or our warrant officer training with our officers and our trainees so that they're getting that experience of talking to who's going to be their subordinate and their supervisor when they get to a first unit. And we also work really hard to be sure that our training is cross-regiment. You know, we're really good as CBRN talking to CBRN or MPs or engineers, but that doesn't really matter. We've got to be able to talk to maneuver folks. We've got to be able to talk to folks that don't necessarily understand some of the technical lingo. And so we spend a lot of time here ensuring that when our folks graduate, regardless of rank, they understand how they fit into what the Army needs to deliver. And when you look at the future of our force, and one thing we've mentioned but haven't talked about a lot is right now we have the individual level homeland defense training and civil support. And we are trying to ensure that we can expand that training. As the Army has stood up the Western Hemisphere Command, we think that we need to really continue to evolve what we're doing, both individual and collective training, to ensure that we can deliver for the nation's priority of the homeland right now.
Hey, sir, a couple of questions. For the audience now, can you tell them what the acronym UAS stands for?
Unmanned aerial systems or the drones. So, you know, when you go out and buy your kid a $50 drone from Walmart, or they're a little bit more expensive than that, but in many cases, we're 3D printing them right now. And they're changing how we teach basic things like cover and concealment. Because when you fly that system, as you well know, SMA, you fly that system over a defensive perimeter, and then we take that into the AAR of our training. That gives our cadre, our drill sergeants, the ability to truly, truly talk at a different level with our trainees. So it's really exciting what the team has already brought into with that.
Yeah, I was down in El Paso here, I guess it's been maybe a year ago or so. We was talking about a lot of stuff with those drones, and that scared the heck out of me with all the things that got going on with the drones and what the capabilities are of drones. The other thing is you talked about Guard and Reserve coming to Fort Leonard Wood. We could not get the job done without the Guard Reserve and the things that they do to, you know, Army. To strengthen our Army, our great Army, that's for sure.
Well, and the one thing I'll say on that is when you look at our specialties, particularly the military police and the engineers, a lot of what our Guard and Reserve do, they do that same type job in their civilian career. So they truly are experts, and it makes it much more valuable as we bring them into training because we learn just as much from them as they learn from us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Sergeant Major, why is Fort Leonard Wood considered a station of choice? Now, this is going to be a great answer. I know that. Why is Fort Leonard Wood considered a station of choice?
SMA, that's simple. That's because of our people.
Yeah.
Our people is what truly makes it the installation of choice. And everybody, when they come here, they usually get concerned because they look at the map and they realize that Fort Leonard Wood is 65,000 acres of unencumbered training area surrounded by the Mark Twain National Forest on three sides. And they get worried because the closest box stores are about 40 miles away. So that brings some type of fear. But what that does, it truly brings the relationships closer together. Our drill sergeants and the community, the climate that it creates by having to engage with each other and spend that critical time is like none other. And truly, when they come here, they realize that with our community, they are building excellence each and every day. They make the community top-notch everywhere.
Yeah.
SMN.
I'll also tell you, it's about the command team within the organizations. I mean, the leadership at every level within Fort Leonard Wood, they sort of set the standard about the people. But you're right about people. If the people trust you and they believe in you, there's, you know, you can get everything you want to get done very quickly and professionally all the time. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about military families. I love talking about military families and the ever so important role they not only played in your life, but the life at Fort Leonard Wood. So please, I know you're not going to go there. You're a good soldier. Stay right there. I'll be right back. This is your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking about professionalism. We're talking about soldiers. We're talking about war fighters that know exactly how to get the job done. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do. And why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Major General Christopher G. Beck, a commanding general, and CSM Jorge Arzabala, Command Sergeant Major at Fort Leonard Wood. Sir, how important are the families to success of the Army at Fort Leonard Wood?
I can't even put in the words, SMA. And I think we'll start with Sergeant Major and I talk a lot when we talk readiness. You know that our Army units are measured on readiness all the time.
Yeah.
And we tell our families, they start readiness. If you're not ready at home, if you don't know that your family has your back, then it's really hard to have unit readiness. And when you look at the lives of folks like our drill sergeants, that's an incredibly professional team we have here, but it's an incredibly, as you well know, an incredibly demanding requirement. Odd hours, unique hours, all hours of the day and night. And so those families, they're critical to what we do. And I'm really proud. We stood up here about 2.5 years ago at an organization that we call the Spouse Resource Center. And really the point of that was it's designed as a one-stop shop where a young spouse who, hey, your husband or your wife went to work yesterday and they kind of high-fived you at the door. Not because they didn't want to help take care of you, but they had to get to work. And you may be a young spouse who has limited understanding of a military environment. And so that Spouse Resource Center is a family-friendly place that's manned by civilians, and they can come in there and ask any question they want. And it's been very successful. We've had a really steady flow of visitors every week, and it's really helped bring the family together. And more importantly, reinforce to the family members how important they are to our mission every single day. We could not do what we do on this installation without the families.
You know, I tell people all the time, my wife was with me just about all the time I was in the military, really about 33 years. And I never watched my kids grow up. I missed so many birthdays, and the family sacrificed so much for all of us to do what we do every day. And so I'm with you. Families are really the key to success in every operation that I've ever been on. So God bless you for what you're doing. Hey, Sergeant Major, is it important for families to understand the history of Fort Leonard Wood and in order to, you know, to better understand what to expect for their sons or daughters, you know, when they enlist and come to Fort Leonard Wood?
That is a critical question, SMA. And I would like to answer this directly to all the families watching, because while history is important, the transformation that occurs here with their sons and daughter is more important. And we all know that reputation is everything. And Fort Leonard does have a proven track record of excellence within not only training and doctrine command, but now training and transformation command. But for all the families, the transformation occurs here, and our cadre are extremely committed, from the 724 drill sergeants that we have to all our instructors, to ensure that each individual improves for the best. They leave better than they arrive, as we continue to say. But as we do that, I want the families to know that when they hear their son or daughter a change in their voice, when they take that video call and they see a little bit more motivation, and when they see on the field, it's truly the transformation of what we call the soldierization process for our Army. And that's truly where it's at. And it's a history founded of 250 years of service for our Army.
Yeah, I tell everybody that when I came into the military, that the Army changed my life. It made me grow up and made me see things so much differently. I came in at 17 and got out at 21 and then came back in, really, I got out at 20, came back into 22 and stayed another 30 plus years. But any successes I've had in life is because of what the Army did to make it better for me and my family. So I just, the Army does a great job. I wish everybody had to come in the military. So, hey, sir, how do St. Robert and Waynesville provide, community support for your service members and their families there at Fort Leonard?
So I'm going to use a couple of very pointed examples, SMA, and one of them actually was just this weekend. We had a family that had an unspeakable tragedy, definitely in need. And there was a couple of people that put out some feelers with the local community. And we got unbelievable support. Frankly, we got support all the way out to Kansas City with food. The family now has meals all the way through the end of March. People have donated. So I could give you example after example like that. And so that's one aspect. The other thing is they're great partners. The Sergeant Major and I just finished up holiday block leave, just like the rest of our training partners did throughout the Army. And one of the things that he and I have been here for every year and continue to amaze us is we normally average between 150 to 200 soldiers that either aren't able to go home, can't afford it, don't want to afford it, or maybe don't have a good reason to go home. And they stay here over the holidays. And as you well know, the holidays can be a challenging time.
Absolutely.
And our communities go above and beyond. They have activities almost every single day that get them out of here and really get them to understand how much, what it means to be part of the Army family and what it means when you look at our nation and our communities and how much they support what we do every single day. They have functions that just really take the young men and young women's mind off of the fact that they're not necessarily with family, because they are truly with their Army family, and they are just treated first class by all of our communities. So I could go on for hours about the relationship and the partnership we have with our local communities.
Yeah, I know there's a large veteran community that lives around your installation. In fact, I know retired Sergeant Majors Rick Barrett and Jim Barrett. I'm sure they're still involved with things going around, doing around Fort Leonard all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we have what we call a Sergeant Major Mafia right outside the gate.
Wait a minute, it's not a mafia.
it's great. Those retired Sergeant Majors, they get together individually or as a group, but they're also only a phone call away. We talk to them. Sergeant Major, I talk to them routinely. And again, it's been unbelievable. We know that we can pick up the phone. And in many cases, most cases, we don't even have to pick up the phone. They've already done their diving on social media, or they've used their connections, and they're three steps ahead of us when it comes to take care of our families. They do an incredible job, and they're, like I said, they're great partners. We look at what can the installation provide the most effectively, and then what can our communities provide, and they think about that when they look at their master plan for their communities, as do we at our installation. So it is an incredible relationship that they know that they're really important to us, and we know that we're really important to them.
Well, I know if you got that Sergeant Major Mafia, then I'm going to ask the lead guy, as Sergeant Major out there. you want to add anything to what the general just said?
Hey, SMA, I mean, I just want to echo some of General Beck's comments, but it's not good. They're always there to celebrate our victories. They recognize all our socials of excellence. And they've been there through the tough times that we've had through our tenure, 30, you know, going on 3 years, and they're there. It's truly a special relationship, right? And it's not just the town next to the base. It's one team. And it's really, I call it the community of excellence here at Fort Leonard Wood. Yeah. And we couldn't be more proud of being part of this team, SMA.
Well, I would just tell you, being an old retired sergeant major, old retired enlisted soldier, is that it makes me feel so good to give back. Because, you know, we're all part of a family. I'm just not going to give any money, but I'm going to help people out. But we're all part of the family, and we need to make sure we take care of each other. Well, I tell you, you guys have got me so pumped up coming on the show. I want to go reenlist, but they won't take me. Or enlist.
We got you. We got it started.
Hey, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you maintain you and your team's daily motivation and inspiration. So stay right there. I know you won't go now. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Major General Christopher G. Beck, Commanding General, and CSM Jorge Arzabala, Command Sergeant Major at Fort Leonard Wood. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I've said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like to cover. You can send me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at SMATilly@yournextmission.org. Guess what? I'll reach back out of you. Hey, sir, just a minute ago, you was telling me a story. And would you tell that story again? Because I want our audience to hear that story. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. So you asked about the relationship that we have with the communities. And Sergeant Major Arzabala and our communities went through a tragedy about 2 years ago where we had one of our soldiers killed by another soldier on the installation. And the parents that came in, the fallen soldier's parents came in to just kind of understand what went on. And Sergeant Major Arzabala and I met with them for about an hour, and they only spoke Spanish. So I only got bits and pieces, and Sergeant Major Arzabala was very, very helpful as we talked to them. And we went through every range of emotions during that hour, as you would expect, having just lost a loved one. But about three quarters of the way through that, in very clear English, the mother looked at me and said, thank you. And what she was thanking us for was the incredible support that she was getting from our installation, our team here, but most importantly from our communities. They had everything they needed taken care of as they came to understand what happened to their daughter. And for her to be going through a time like that and to stop and say thank you, that really reinforced what it means to be part of the Army family and what communities in this area truly mean to what we do every day.
Yeah, you know, people know if you care. You know, they know if you're some people, you know, they know by your emotions, how you talk, how you communicate with them. So thanks for sharing that story, sir. It's important for people that maybe not have served in the military, hear those kind of stories, because the military or the military is all a part of a big, big family that really loves each other and wants to take care of each other. Sir, what motivates or inspires you each and every day, and how do you carry that forward when your team at Fort Leonard Wood?
I've served a couple of ways. Number one is my battle buddy. So while you yell hooah really loud, I tell people all the time, I maybe can't find Sergeant Major Arzabala in a room because of his height, but I can always hear it. So whenever I'm feeling a little sorry for myself, I just find my battle buddy and he fires me up. And the other way, honestly, there's kind of two things. And you know, what I've seen with our team here is you challenge them, but they understand why they're doing it. They understand the change they're making for the Army. they fire me up because they're like, sir, I got it. We're running. And so that's exciting. And then, you know, after a day of meetings, what I really need is to remind myself what this is about. And that's either going out to the field and seeing our trainees or going to a graduation and watching parents who haven't seen their son or daughter in 10 plus weeks. And they can't even believe the transformation that our cadre have made. And so, you know, it reminds me why I'm here, why I want to be a leader in the Army, and why it's so important that we all get up every day and do what the nation needs us to do from Fort Leonard Wood.
Yeah, you know, that command team is so important. And having the right battle buddy to work with you is so important, too. If you can get that good team that functions and works together and communicates with each other, you can do anything that you need to do with that installation. But when you don't have that, that's when everything falls apart. I used to tell people, you can have the best commander in the world and not have a good sergeant major, and guess what? You're going to have problems. And you can have the best sergeant major and okay commander, you can still have a good unit.
We're part for that here at Fort Ironwood.
but when you got them both, like you guys do, things just happen. And people know if you care. They know if you care about what you're doing just by your actions, by the way you communicate with them. You know, the key to success is being visible, talking to people, telling people what you're doing, and listening to what their issues are. Again, Sergeant Major, same question, Bud.
It's me. So very similar, right? But in 2005, when I was here as a drill sergeant, I learned a key principle within my leadership philosophy. And it's very easy because the Army defines it for you. But that is, I will never attempt any task that I will not require my soldier. Oh man, excuse me. I will never ask a soldier to attempt any task I will not conduct myself. And that is crucial here because as we have three training brigades constantly training from basic training before the sun goes up to the end, my 724 drill sergeants are engaged, instructors are teaching, and we're going through the whole spectrum of training and transformation of soldiers. Now, that's truly amazing, but that is what continues to drive me because somewhere in there, I was that private in 1999 who the Army gave a shot, who invested in me and changed. And when I go out there, I know that in there, not only are they performing for our nation, but each and every individual that's coming through here, will leave better than they arrived, and they will make a difference within their lives just because of what's occurring each and every day. And I'm extremely proud of the entire NCO Corps here because they never stop. They never quit, and they do everything with excellence and pride in the Army, SMA.
You're training people for war. You know, when I came into the military, I went basic training, AIT, and then I went jump school, and then I went to war. So in 18 months after I came to the military, I was actually fighting a war. And I pray today, I'm glad that I'm still alive, but there's so many of my friends that got killed during war. And so your job and the things that you do are so critical to so many people, not just the service member that's there, or the soldier that's there, but the families that send their children to you to train to go to war. So I just thank you for what you guys are doing. I know it's not an easy job, and you got to make some tough decisions sometimes, but I guarantee you. In fact, I know that you're doing a great job because I can just tell by your attitudes and the way you're coming across on this show here today. And so, again, I appreciate what you guys are doing. You're making a difference in the lives of so many.
Yeah, if I could just add a little bit more, and it's, you know, part of that discipline is also warfighting, like you're mentioning, and it's really been inspirational here that for the last 5 years, we've been doing expert infantry batch and expert soldier batch here on the installation. We do have three infantry battalions, and just the ability to get that to our soldiers and have them go through the process to become expert at field craft is crucial. So it's not just basic training, but we are giving every opportunity to everybody to, because our focus continues to be warfighting, as you discussed. So I just wanted to add that because our team, they had intent and they continue to make it happen regardless of how many cycles of training, how many soldiers, what the workload is. We find time to get after what's crucial, and that's warfighting.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, when I talk on a show, you know, when you come into the military, you raise your hand and say, I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that tells me two things. You're either willing to give up your life for this country or you're willing to die for this country. And that's so important. It's so important for people to understand what I'm giving to you. And what I'm giving to you, I'm willing to die for the freedoms of our country. And that's important to all of us. Hey, sir, to follow up, the Army is, you know, the Army always is changing at a speed that we haven't seen in, you know, really in a long time. How are you and your team embracing all that change? I'm sure you're adjusting pretty quickly. So can you talk about how you're embracing all the changes coming down to you right now?
Absolutely. And I think probably the biggest thing is a mindset shift. And what I mean by that is we view ourselves as a supporting command. Our role is to support the warfighter. And while that's always been our philosophy, what we've really tried hard to do is leverage our team to get out to the warfighter and see. And as you said, the rate of change right now is faster than I've ever seen in the Army. And it's starting at the junior level. It's starting on the ground in the field. And so what we're doing is we're sending our teams out there and not having the old model where, hey, bring what you learned back to the institution so then we can figure out what to do with it. We're taking the institution to the operational force. We're taking the generating force out there and we're bringing it back. And we're really focused on delivering capability. And that's really important because particularly, and we were talking about unmanned aerial systems or drones earlier, it's really, you know, the pace of change when it comes to materiel is significant. But at the end of the day, if we just deliver a new toy to a unit, that's mildly amusing. What we've got to deliver is a capability. And that may mean new doctrine, new training and leader development, or it may mean a new organization that goes with that new piece of material. So we're really focused on that and that connection that we are driving hard with our other centers of excellence across training and transformation command. We are that connective tissue is helping us be that much more responsive to what the organizations in the field, the operating force need. General Hodney was talking the other day and he kind of called them the showroom floor. And so our job is to make sure that the units on the showroom floor are ready to fight. And that's, we take that very seriously. And that connective tissue, that mindset, I think is what really is helping us as an organization, as the Maneuver Support Center of Excellence, understand the value that we're bringing to the warfighter every single day. And as long as you have that connection, it's much easier to, even when you're working hard and you got a lot going on, it's better when you see what you're doing to change the Army for the good.
Yeah, you know, the Army is part of change. I tell people all the time, when I came in the Army, I had an M14. When I left, I had an AR. When I came in the Army, I was on an old 48 tank. When I left, I had an M1. So change is part of the Army, and we got to adapt as much as we can. That's for doggone sure. So, Sergeant Major, you want to... Oh, I got to say one more thing, too. It's so critical for you to talk to the divisions that you're talking to, the warfighters. I remember I was a division sergeant major for 5.5 years, and one of the things that I came away when I left there that nobody ever asked me questions. You know, when they did, it didn't seem like it was going anywhere. So talking to the division, seeing what the issues are is really critical and very smart. I know we've been doing that for a long time, but that's really a good thing to do all the time, that's for sure. Hey, Sergeant Major, what, you want to add anything there?
Yeah, change is crucial for the Army, as you discussed, SMA, but I always say the only people or the only humans that like change are babies, and they like to get changed often, right? Because change is hard for any organization, but here we're pressing, putting our foot on the pedal and moving forward. Specifically, some of what I want to highlight is the NCO reform that we're starting to do within our NCOESs. So we're taking a look at what have we grown over the time and where do we need to reduce? We've had direction from Training and Doctrine Command, Sergeant Major Harris, and we're really looking at how do we need to modify and really get after it, because now the operational Army is certifying soldiers on their key tasks, and the institutional, we're validating that they're ready for that, their MOS at Gravely. So we're taking courses, we're removing a lot of the excess that we have and reducing hours. In some cases, advanced leader course, which used to be BNOC, and senior leader course are dropping close to 3 weeks. And that's because we're getting after the training at home station to bring them up. We've added MOS competency assessments before the individuals get here. So when they get to PME, they're getting an assessment of what their knowledge is for that grade plate. And when they're leaving, we're incorporating another assessment to see where they've learned. Now, in the future, there's plans that those will be conducted at home station, and we can get those NCOs up to par before even coming to PME. for our basic leader course or primary leadership development course, we're adding 2 more weeks because we're realizing that NCOs, they can't just learn in a classroom. We need to take them out to the field and showcase their leadership skills in action as they lead their peers. Not when they get to the units, we're doing that here. So those 2 weeks, we're adding field craft, and we're adding land navigation, and we're increasing those tasks to ensure that they're proficient from the get-go and the onset. And so those are some of the changes. And within our 3 regiments, well, we've gained tremendous energy moving forward. And we're excited for the change, and we're excited to produce the best non-commissioned officers that we can from here forward or to the Army.
I'm a lot older than you guys. I was in the Army, you know, 20 years ago now, but I used to tell people when they say, I know how to do it, and I'd say, show me. I want to see you do that task. I never try to cut corners. In peacetime, you never cut corners. And make sure that you prepare yourself to go to war. So I used to tell people, I don't care if you tell me you do it, I'm going to see you do it, hands-on kind of stuff. The other thing is, I was at Fort Bragg here just a couple of weeks ago, and I was having breakfast with a couple of non-commissioned officers, and I asked him a question. This is sort of funny. He says, hey, do you go out to Fort Bragg anymore? And one guy says, no, I'm not relevant anymore. And I said to him, I said, in some cases, it's true when it comes to equipment and technology, but when it comes to leadership and teaching soldiers and teaching leadership and how to treat people and how to communicate with people, you'll always be affected. So go out there and help our Army, because it is our Army, and that'll never change. So I think it's important for you to use that, and I know that you're doing that, to use that veteran community as much as you can to help in that leadership aspect anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, sir, we talk a lot about transition on this show. I love talking about, even though I transitioned years ago, but when it comes to transition, what do you feel is a key factor or opportunity to help service members and their families prepare for transition?
So I think the first thing I would say, SMA, is using the programs the Army provides. Things like the skills bridge and programs like that, when they are applied correctly, and there's an end state clearly defined, I've seen great success of that at every level. And the other thing is, I think being sure that you take advantage of all the different programs that are out there. We're getting closer to the end than we are closer to the beginning of our careers. And so both of us, both Sergeant Major and I, have spent time continuing to look about what does it mean to transition. And there's a lot, the number of programs that are out there, we talk Soldier for Life all the time, but the reality is, before you're even completed that transition, the Army wants to make you successful. And I was just talking to a colonel today who's going to retire later this summer. And the one thing that we talked about was, what's his transition plan? How has he been taking care of himself? Whether that's medically, whether that's taking time to leverage the resources to write a resume, do the careers, the skills bridge program, or whatever he's interested in, how is he taking time? Because while we certainly don't want folks that are retired on active duty, there does get to a point where you need to keep working hard, but you also need to take care of yourself and your family. You can't run till the very last second and expect things to work out. You've got to plan. And, it's cliche, but we all learned as young soldiers or young officers, you're your best career manager. Well, that's no different when it comes to managing you and your family when it comes to a transition. So I would just say, using the programs the Army provides and spending some time and really talking to your family about it. I just went through the general officer transition course recently, which, as you can go through multiple times. And it made my wife and I, and she's been along on the whole journey with me, just like yours. And we really had conversations that I thought we had a similar view. But we had some differences. And so we never really spend time sitting down as an Army. We're running so fast all the time. But sitting down and just having that conversation and thinking about, what does it mean to transition? I don't know. There are plenty of resources to help you do that, but they can't do it for you. You've got to sit down as a family and really think about that.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, you need to start far enough out, about 2 years out. Mm-hmm. I tell people, start that process. You have to, at least 2 years out. The other thing is, like I said, I've been married a long time, 56 years. And for some reason, she's always right. I'm always wrong. So make sure you listen to your make sure you listen to your spouse. Hey, son, made you want to add anything?
Yeah. No, it's been it's truly been a great opportunity in here, and we have a great team for transitions here at Fort Linwood with Mr. Harris down in our transition assistance program. But from hiring our heroes coming down here and the fairs that they do to the tremendous team within the TAP office, they all are here to help, and they see everybody in and out. And there's plenty of opportunities here within the greater Missouri area, all the way through St. Louis. And they do a great job of connecting our transitioning soldiers, Marines, airmen, and sailors with the needs of the community. They've been doing a great job. And it's all because our team cares. And they want to make sure that, again, everybody leaves better than they arrived. And it's truly a mantra that we live by. And it's not just some buzzwords that we say, and everybody's all in, SMA.
Yeah. I got to tell you a funny story. So I'm going to tell you his name, but years ago, I had a lieutenant general call me up and I said, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" I knew him since he was a first lieutenant. I knew him for a lot of years. And he called me and said, "Hey, Sergeant Major, I need for you to help me with transition." I said, no, you get one of those general officers to help you. He said, no, I want you. And I actually got him a job. he was a good guy. And he's a wonderful friend. And I haven't talked to him for a while. But yeah, this is, it's important that you take care of yourself and your families and get them involved. And sir, I'm glad to hear you talk about taking your wife to that transition classes too. Because it's important to get the family involved with everything that you're doing. That's for sure. Hey, this has been a great discussion. Do you have any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience maybe we missed? And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with a sergeant major and then let the commander finish. So, Sergeant Major, any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience?
No, SMA, first and foremost, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be on your show and to talk to you. It's always great talking to you. But more importantly, the opportunity to showcase Fort Linwood to the Army and to the world for that matter, because our professionals that we have here, in and out, day in and out, they perform superbly. They work hard. As a matter of fact, I tell them, just get rid of the word hard in our vocabulary because that's what we do. But it's for a purpose. It's to train our sons and daughters, to train our NCOs, to train our officers to be a better Army and really be a steward of the profession and everything that we do. And with all this, we can't do it with our community. So to our community partners out there, and thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for being the teammates that can anticipate the needs of an installation and being together on this journey, really the community of excellence. So Fort Linwood has been great to me, and I hope that it is great to everybody because it is the installation choice, and everybody leaves better than they arrived in Fort Linwood.
Hoo-ah! That's what I'm talking about. Sergeant Major, I can see you're all pumped up, and I see why your commander hired you now. So you're probably helping him out a great deal there. Hey, sir, first of all, let me say before you can talk, thanks so much for coming on the show. You got a wonderful team, got a wonderful installation, and you're making a difference in the lives of a lot of people. So thanks for coming on our show. And any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience?
SMA, thanks for having us today. I will absolutely echo my battle buddy's comments. He and I are both humbled to serve here. We've got a great team, military, civilian, families, retirees. There isn't a day that goes by that he and I don't look at each other and say how lucky we are to be here. And the other thing to caveat on what he said, Fort Linwood is an unbelievable place. But I will tell you, as we talk a lot, not only are we great here locally, but we're inspired about our nation and the future of our Army every day. I'll tell you, the young men and women that we get the opportunity to see come in and train, God bless them. They're raising their right hand and volunteering to serve our nation in a time when our world is very tumultuous. And so my hat's off to them just as much. They inspire us as much every day as hopefully we inspire them. And so, again, thanks, SMA, for having us today. We're always proud to talk about Fort Linwood and the great team that we've got here.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on the show. And I just want to see if you're still motivated. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I want you to give me a big hoo-ah, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Hoo-ah.
Oh, that's a little weak. Hey, I'll see you guys later. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Major General Christopher G. Beck, Commanding General of CSM Jorge Arzabala, Command Sergeant Major at Fort Linwood, and just great coming on the show. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can also follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing at Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Major General Beck and Sergeant Major Archibala for joining us today. And I'm going to tell you something. I love talking to command teams like this because they care. They want to make a difference in their lives. They want to make a difference in our kids' lives, in the men and women that we send to them to train them to get ready to go to war. They're professionals that love this country and love our military. And all they want to do each and every day is make things better for all of us. You know, every day we go to work, you know, civilians, I guess, we'd go to work, we do a lot of stuff. Sometimes we forget about the men and women that are there for us. I said a few minutes ago, they raise their hand and say, I will protect and defend the Constitution. That really makes me think about two things. One is that they're willing to take a life for our country and for you. The second thing is they're willing to die for our freedoms, for our freedom, for our way of life that sometimes we take for granted. Thanks for watching, and thanks again to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.